White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 372.
It's the Avengers Assemble podcast from the Jarvis Heads of AvengersAssemble.net. Now, here's your host, Van Allen Plexico.
Hello, and welcome to the Avengers Assemble podcast here on the White Rocket Entertainment Network. Brought to you by AvengersAssemble.net and by White Rocket in association with all our great supporters via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined this episode by one of my absolute go-to guys, direct from Midnight Entertainment, Jim Yelton. Welcome back aboard the White Rocket Show, Jim.
Hey, Van, how's it going?
Well, Jim, you know that I'm going to come to you when something like this comes along, and that is we've got good stuff to talk about, and then we've got maybe we'll see what our thoughts are. You know, because we had two trailers come out over the last week or so, one for Captain Marvel, which comes up in March, and the other for Avengers, and we found out the name Avengers 4 is Endgame, coming out this summer, and I have thoughts, and I figured...
I have thoughts as well.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, I'm glad that you wanted me to come on to talk about this, because I don't know that you and I have ever talked about it, but... You know, a little inside baseball because, you know, I've got my Geek Universe radio show that's on around the country at various stations on the weekend. And that gets uploaded to the stations Friday morning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm doing a lot of production and various things to put it together throughout the week. And I usually have things pretty much set out weeks ahead of time. So... When stuff like this happens, where I literally uploaded the show to our affiliate stations, and then when I was done with that, I went to Facebook and saw that the Avengers trailer had dropped. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I guess I'm not going to be able to talk about that on this week's show because I've already put it in the can. So, I, you know, rather than have to wait a week to talk about it on my show, I'm glad I have a chance to talk about it with you.
That's great. Yeah, that's absolutely. And I'm glad, too, because I'm like I said, I had no doubt that you had things you wanted to say about it. And let me go ahead and tell the folks up front. Now, we'll I'm going to play both trailers. We'll talk in sort of vague terms first, but we'll get into pretty spoilery stuff. Though, remember, a lot of the stuff that seems spoilery is either us predicting, which we really don't know, you know, we're just predicting, or it's based on knowledge of the comics, which is, again, not really a spoiler because we have no idea right now how either movie is going to follow, you know, any comics they might be partially or completely based on. But I do want to dig into where these stories came from in the comics just a little bit. And I have, again, some sort of personal thoughts about it that I feel very strongly about, too. So we're going to start out talking about Captain Marvel. This is the Brie Larson movie coming up, I believe, March 8th, maybe. That is an interesting... It's increasingly looking like a strange amalgamation of Marvel and Ms. Marvel with some other stuff thrown in. And I thought I had a handle on it originally, and I'm beginning to wonder. So before we get into that, let me go ahead and play it. Here is the Captain Marvel trailer direct from Marvel, and after we've heard that, you and I can talk about what we think about it. So here we go.
So Skrulls are the bad guys. And you're a Kree, a race of noble warriors?
Heroes. Noble warrior heroes.
Your life began the day it nearly ended. We found you. With no memory, we made you one of us. So you could live longer, stronger, superior. You were reborn.
I keep having these memories. Something in my past is the key to all of this.
You know how to fly this thing?
We'll see.
That's a yes or no question.
Yes.
Would you like to know what you really are?
I think I had a life here.
What aren't you telling me?
You've come a long way, but you're not as strong as you think. This war is just the beginning.
I'm not gonna fight your war. I'm gonna end it.
Aren't you the cutest little thing?
Aren't you cute? And what's your name, huh?
Fury.
What's
cute? I'll be back.
All right. So that's interesting. I saw the first trailer and I was like, okay, I got a handle on this. Yeah. And I watched that trailer. That was the second trailer that just came out. And I'm like, I have so many conflictions. So what's your first reaction? And I'm going to see if it's as deep as mine or if it doesn't bother you as much.
Well, you know, and it's funny because I knew going into this conversation with you that I felt like this was going to be more of a therapy session for you than it is for me. because of how much you love Carol Danvers and have been waiting for this movie for years now.
Yes.
You know, it's weird because we're at a point now, not just with superhero movies in general, but with Marvel superhero movies specifically, where you can't just keep doing the same origin story type movie over and over again.
Right.
And yet they have to introduce these characters in some way. And for a lot of these characters now, when you're getting into characters like Doctor Strange and Black Panther and now Captain Marvel, where the general movie-going audience is not going to know who these characters are, and the backstory is kind of dense. Mm-hmm. You have to get this out to the general public where they're going to understand it, and it's going to make sense to them in a more simplified way. And it doesn't bother me as much that they're ditching certain parts of a character's history to simplify it, but I'm confused as to where they're going with Carol Danvers and what we know of her backstory from the comics and just how much of a change they're going to make in order to simplify her origin story for this movie.
Right.
So that to me was the first thing. Now, I don't mind the mystery aspect of it. It seems like that's going to be a big plot thread, is that Carol herself doesn't quite know what her backstory is, and that part of her journey through this movie may be the journey of solving that mystery. You know, while at the same time, you've basically got the Kree-Skrull War going on and her being a big part of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting trailer. It did what I think a trailer needs to do, because I have a lot more questions, and I'll repeat this when we talk about the Avengers too. I have a lot more questions about the Captain Marvel movie and less answers than I want at this point.
And to be fair, it's not the job of Marvel or this trailer to give us all the answers, and I'm not
right.
I'm not demanding them, and I'm not complaining I don't have them. That I don't want to come across wrong. And by the way, when you just said the mystery of who she is and she's, you know, all that, I'm thinking, gosh, so she's Ultra from my Sentinels novels. How about that?
She is, yeah.
But It looks on the surface through that trailer like a perfectly fine MCU movie. It looks like a perfectly fine movie, origin movie in the same lines as the Ant-Man first movie or the Doctor Strange first movie, maybe even the Iron Man first movie if it's really good. You know, it seems like a perfectly decent MCU origin first movie in a little sub-series, and that's fine. It's just it doesn't look like it's the movie I wanted, and I've got to be clear here because I've gotten almost in fistfights in panels at Dragon Con on this kind of thing, right? I was extremely outspoken when Iron Man 3 came out that the Mandarin was done completely wrong and totally ruined. And I had somebody in a panel basically stand up and yell at me and say, "You're just mad it wasn't what you wanted, even if it's done well and it's good for a movie for the public." And I replied, "No, I absolutely understand the concept that you can change things to make a better movie for the whole movie going public rather than slavishly, you know, going by what was written in the 1960s or something like that. I absolutely understand that and agree with it. The problem comes when you take an established character and you change them in a way that lessens and cheapens them, especially if they're a very, very important part of the hero's whole mythos." So in other words, it's one thing, if you're doing a Batman movie, it's one thing to take, you know, some random Batman villain that's been in three issues ever and make a joke out of him, right? And it makes a funny part of the movie. That's one thing. It's another thing to completely change the Joker if they were to do that, or to completely change Lex Luthor in a Superman movie, or to completely, as they've done, completely ruin Dr. Doom in the Fantastic Four movies. At that point, it becomes not just a directorial choice, it becomes a crime, in my opinion, against the material. Okay. So I want to be clear here. I'm not saying this is going to be a bad movie. I'm not saying they're egregiously ruining anything in this case. This is not an Iron Man 3 situation quite. It's just that from a personal level, okay, and as you've just pointed out, I've waited my whole life for two things that I was supposed to get in this movie. One, a Carol Danvers somehow movie, and two, a movie with Mar-Vell in it. And in the space of this one trailer, I'm very strongly suspecting that this is not the Carol Danvers I was expecting at all, and that there might not be any Mar-Vell in this movie at all. So, first, let's look at Carol Danvers. We see in the trailer she has blue blood, and she even is telling Nick Fury she's a Kree and defending the Kree to him, talking them up. She seems to think she's a Kree. So at that point, I'm like, okay, so she's literally become a Kree. Is she now actually a Kree that came to Earth and, like, was adopted as a human? Or is she a human that has somehow been transformed into a Kree and now is back on Earth? It's hard to tell which way they're going with that, okay? And then I'm going to get your reaction to that, but at the same time, then you have apparently a Skrull saying to her, "Would you like to know what you really are?" And now I'm like, oh Lord, now it's that Captain Marvel story they did during Civil War where we had like four issues of Mar-Vell walking around. Then you find out he was a Kree that didn't know you had four issues of Captain Mar-Vell walking around back from the dead, thinking he was Mar-Vell, and then it turned out he was actually a Skrull who forgot he was a Skrull. So my big terror here is that Carol Danvers is a Skrull who thinks she's a Kree, who thinks she's a human. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, and I think that, you know, they tried to drop a hint as to the mystery, and there's more that's going on with the brief clip that we saw of Annette Bening where, you know, she references that they found her.
Yes.
You know, and they basically did something to save her from whatever. And I'm assuming, you know, and this is where it's weird to me that they would make some of these story choices, because it seems like with Carol's Air Force background and some of the shots that we've already seen of there being a some sort of plane crash in her background, that they might be just simplifying her origin by making her Hal Jordan and going the Green Lantern route with her, which seems bizarre to me that they would make it that close to Green Lantern's origin.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, there's this part of me, and especially since they can now use the Skrulls with impunity and do the Skrulls the right way and not have to call them Chitauri, and that they can have shape-shifting Skrulls on screen in the MCU. There's a part of me that wonders how much they're going to do with that, and if we're going to have an entire movie where you're playing this guessing game about who's a Skrull and who's not a Skrull.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that part of it for me where automatically I'm questioning everything that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I think, and we're everything that characters are saying almost, because I don't know who you can trust, because they have to be playing some of that kind of espionage, shape-shifting Skrulls, you know, pretending to be other people game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to be doing that a lot, even when we're watching the movie. Honestly, I think this is going to be a movie where we spend a lot of time guessing and trying to figure out exactly what we're seeing. Now, there's two things I want to say there, because this is why I love talking to you, Jim. Not only do you have great insights, but you helped me think of things I wanted to say and hadn't put into words yet. It always works out really well when we talk like this. Okay, so number one is,
it does.
If Marvel didn't want us speculating publicly on stuff like this and drawing conclusions that might turn out to be right and kind of, you know, putting it out there, they shouldn't have included all that material in the freaking trailer, okay? If you don't want people speculating in this day and age about stuff like this, then don't show it to us. Show us a battle scene and some character stuff. Don't show us all this memory, who are you, identity stuff, because of course we're going to speculate about that, for crying out loud. Okay, number two, I think you hit the nail right on the head with when Annette Bening, whoever she is, and I almost the way they move people's ages forward and backward, like Henry Pym versus Scott Lang, you know, Henry Pym being older and being Howard Stark's generation almost or whatever, I almost want to say that she could be Phylavel, because she looks like an older Phylavel with that short white hair and everything. But anyway,
right?
Then I lose my mind if that's the case. I will absolutely lose my mind. But she says, "We found you with no memory and made you one of us." Okay, that seems to imply that she was not a Kree originally, but if she had no memory even before the Kree found her, how did the Kree find her on Earth? And could she have been, this gets me back to my other theory that she's going to turn out to be a Skrull. See, that's going to be the Iron Man 3 twist that's going to make me throw my shoes at the movie screen. That's where the director tries to be so clever that they say, wouldn't it be cool if we just said she was a Skrull the whole time? And I would say, no, that would not be cool. That would be very, very bad. So I just have this terrifying fear now that it's going to be like a triple cross and she's going to end up being a Skrull found by the Kree. But anyway,
yeah, I don't think they're going in that direction. And I'll tell you what, you know, because this was a conversation and, you know, it kind of dovetails with the later conversation we're going to have about the Avengers, where I was at a convention and we were talking about all of the upcoming movies and how they're going to lead into the final Avengers movie. And a lot of people, it seemed to me, we're just overthinking it. And all of these ideas and theories that people have about these movies and things that they're going to do and plot points that they're going to have in them just seem like a lot of us taking all of the, you know, decades long history of these characters and picking out our own plot points that we think are going to be in the movies, and we're really overthinking it. And I can see where you might think that they would do that kind of a double or triple cross, you know, playing her as, is she a Skrull? Is she not a Skrull? And then she ends up being a Skrull. But I think that sets up some problems long-term for them. And it just seems like too much trouble when they could just as easily present Carol Danvers as she is in the comic.
Yeah.
And not have to go through all of the story gymnastics to make her being a Skrull work long term.
Well, I agree with you, but I think the reason I think that is because they go to such lengths in this trailer to set up the is she human or is she a Kree question that they've kind of aired that one out so much, I feel like it's almost a misdirection to get us to not think about the third option. You see what I mean? But I mean,
yeah.
I don't want that to be the case, but nothing against the Skrulls, of course, any worse than the Kree. But I want her to be Carol Danvers. I don't want her to be a Skrull or a Kree. So
I think the worst option is that Jude Law ends up being a Skrull, and that we're led to believe the entire movie that he's Mar-Vell, and when in reality he's a Skrull who thinks he's Mar-Vell.
Right. Well,
that might be the twist towards the end.
Well, but there's a third option, and that's the other big thing I wanted to talk about. But first, I got to point out this looks like it's going to be the Kree-Skrull War for the MCU. Apparently, the Kree-Skrull War took place in the 1990s, and we just didn't get it wasn't in the papers.
And we didn't know about it.
it's like in Babylon 5 when the Shadow War happened, and everybody back on Earth is like, what are you talking about? Shadow War? What's a Shadow War? I love that. Well, so yeah,
Nick Fury's going to do a really good job of covering it up.
That's it. Yeah,
you know, we're not going to know about it.
There were like 15 episodes of Stargate where they would like try to cover up all the stuff they were doing in outer space. Oh, it was a meteor shower, you know, and all that. So that's pretty funny. Well, we're going to get the Kree-Skrull War probably. I'm hoping that means that we get some Ronan the Accuser actually being Ronan rather than Ronan being Osama bin Ronan. A loner blowing up.
That's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about and kind of pick your brain about, because I think it's interesting that they're doing this as a period piece set in the 90s, because several characters that we've met through Guardians of the Galaxy, like Ronan and Korath, are in this, you know, as basically good guys. And I wonder if we're going to see through the movie, you know, them being good guys that go bad, and seeing how Ronan starts down the path to where he's basically doing Thanos's bidding.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, too, is if we see that transition either in this movie or if they do another one or whatever. I'm also excited to see Dr. Minerva. I mean, the more obscure the more obscure characters from the old Captain Marvel and Ms. Marvel comics we can get in, the better. I almost wish we could get Deathbird, and you got to think that if they do a Captain Marvel 2, they might try to bring Deathbird in because that's the Shi'ar and correct me if I'm wrong. We have yet to see the Shi'ar in any movie, Fox, Marvel, Sony, anything, right?
No, they haven't brought him in at all.
Not at all, right. And that's funny, too. Well, I mean, in a way it makes sense because the Shi'ar came along a lot later than the Kree and the Skrull in the comics history, if I'm correct. They were much more an X-Men thing, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think the rights to those characters were probably tied up because they were probably part of the X-Men universe.
Well, but that's not going to be a problem much longer.
Oh, no, it's not a problem at all anymore, so they can do what they want, but that's probably why we haven't seen them up to this point.
I guess you would say, I don't know what we're going to have after the end of this phase of Marvel, but I guess you would save Deathbird for like an introduction to the Shi'ar when you wanted to do a whole new thing. So like if there was a whole new Marvel phase that would have like Kang fighting a younger Avengers team and bringing in the X-Men, you'd want to bring the Shi'ar in at that point, maybe, and the Brood as well. That's the two big alien races in the X-Men that we haven't seen. So Although, honestly, if they brought the Brood in, people would immediately start screaming they're ripping off Alien, and that'd be because they are, in fact, ripping off Alien.
They are, yes.
Flying aliens. Okay, so the other thing we got to talk about with Captain Marvel, and this is when I was teasing this a second ago, do you know the whole deal with Jude Law and who he's playing? Because there's been a revelation this week, allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, I know, and this is where it's tricky because I know that part of it has to do with reveals of toys and action figures and different things that are starting to come out and how they may or may not be labeled properly. So, you know, it's really tricky when you start to look at stuff like that because, you know, I think there are a lot of spoilers that have come out over the last couple of years for key pieces of information from these movies based on the toy lines. And this apparently is one of them because I guess there were, and was it actually a figure of his character that came out?
Well, it's a pop. It's a Funko Pop, which is not like very visibly, you know, identifiable. Right. It's not like an action figure that looks just like an actor. Well, that's my question though, Jim, is how do we know that the Funko Pop that came out with that name is, and I'm not going to say it, I guess, because I want to, if people that don't want to know, but there's a certain character that a Funko Pop came out of for this movie, and then they immediately changed it to just a very generic, like, Star Commander or something, because they realized
and
they were giving a point away.
It wasn't labeled as Mar-Vell.
No, I mean, but that's the thing. How do we know that was Jude Law's character?
Right, and I guess that's where my question comes in is, well, first of all, I mean, you know, we're going to kind of dance around it because we don't want to spoil it for people in case it does end up being a true part of the movie. But the name that they used was very specific.
Yeah.
And very much a character that's part of the Captain Marvel mythos.
Absolutely.
And so either that character's in the movie or he's not.
Right.
And because I don't know why they would have just randomly picked that name out of thin air.
Well,
so, you know, that's where I think, you know, I'm kind of on the fence and I understand why you're upset about it.
Well, if you look on IMDb, it has always said Jude Law is playing Walter Lawson / Mar-Vell. I don't know who told IMDb that, but the fact is that Walter Lawson was a name that Mar-Vell used at one point when he was on Earth. So if he's not actually that character at all, then A, who is playing that character, and is Mar-Vell even in the movie? This is what got me all fired up to begin with, is the idea that after all this time of me thinking that not only am I going to get, you know, Carol Danvers Captain Marvel, I'm also going to get to see Mar-Vell, these are my second and third favorite characters of all time, trailing only Iron Man, okay? My three favorite characters are Iron Man, Captain Mar-Vell, and Carol Danvers in whatever form she's in that week. And I was excited to get both of them in this movie. I understand how you might use that other character in this movie, but I'm mystified as to how do we know that that's who that was referring to? You know, I mean, if I put an action figure out,
right?
If I put an action figure out from the last from Force Awakens and say it's Joe Blow, why would people be going, oh, Harrison Ford's not playing Han Solo, he's playing Joe Blow? How do we know that's who it is? I've never had anybody explain that.
And there's no other toys that have come out where we've seen, you know, the character that Jude Law's playing, that it clearly looks like Jude Law's character.
Right.
You know, labeled as somebody else. So it's not like there's been confirmation of this. Yeah. And it seems to me like one of those things that somebody saw, because the internet disseminates information at lightning speeds now.
Yeah.
As soon as one person saw it, everybody saw it. And, you know, it was like, oh, I've got this big scoop as to who he's playing now. Because they have been a little cagey about who Jude Law is playing in this movie.
Yeah. Well, I can understand the need for the character he might be. And the way he acts in the trailer seems more like that kind of a character than Mar-Vell. But, and honestly, most people won't even know the name if I mentioned it, but I'm still not going to mention it. But most people right. wouldn't even know that name.
Right.
But it is kind of a spoiler. But anyway, so I guess to kind of wrap up my thoughts on Captain Marvel and let you do the same, I guess it's just that I'm just extremely disappointed. It's kind of like with the Mandarin, where I was so excited to see my favorite character's arch enemy, and they ruined him. They absolutely made a joke out of him, which was horrifying to me. I was sitting there in the theater with my mouth hanging open. And now I've been looking forward for years to seeing, Captain Mar-Vell, and I'm thinking, well, if Jude Law's not playing him, then is he even in the movie? And are they just rolling his character into Carol's? Are they going to be like an amalgamation kind of a thing? I'm puzzled as to if I'm going to get a recognizable Carol and if I'm going to get a Mar-Vell at all. And that's what's disturbing me the most. Those two things are disturbing me the most, that I may not recognize Carol, and I may not even get Mar-Vell at all. And if those both happen, I will be very disappointed, regardless of how good the movie is, and it may be very good.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you. I mean, one of the things about Mar-Vell being in this movie or not being in this movie that seems kind of odd to me is that so much of Carol's backstory is tied to Mar-Vell as a character.
Yes.
And it seems weird that you would do a Carol Danvers movie setting her up as Captain Marvel and not have Mar-Vell in it at all. I mean, I could see them putting Mar-Vell in the movie and changing his character somewhat to enhance her story or put the spotlight more on her and less on him.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever changes they make, but it seems odd that they would do this movie and not have Mar-Vell in it at all.
Yes.
Or at least not set up the fact that he's a character in the MCU that could show up in a future movie. So,
right.
it's one of those things where I tend to think that Jude Law has to be playing Mar-Vell. It may not be the Mar-Vell that we all expect him to be, and he may end up being a Skrull at some point, and the real Mar-Vell is out there somewhere. We don't know to show up in a future movie. So, we're at a weird time, and we'll talk about this more when we get into the Avengers stuff, but this is a weird time for the MCU because as a fan, there's so much about the future of the franchise that we don't know.
Yes. That's right.
And so it's hard for those of us who like to speculate on such things to even know what to speculate about.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know where they're going after Endgame.
That's right. There's been two previous moments where Marvel took characters I was very excited about and drastically changed them or didn't use them at all or waited till the very last second to introduce them. And that would be the Mandarin in Iron Man 3, of course, and also Warlock. I still can't believe, although I totally believe it, but I'm still disappointed that we've gone this far into the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy, and all we've seen of Warlock is that little teaser at the end of the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and we may never get the third one now, which was going to be the Warlock movie. So,
right.
Way to go, Gunn, for that. But
and the odd thing about Warlock is that even if he had shown up in Volume 3 of Guardians of the Galaxy, we would be getting an Adam Warlock character who for most of his storyline in the comic books
mm-hmm.
was connected to Thanos and the Infinity Stones.
Exactly.
And and he would be coming along after we played out the Infinity War, exactly. Which seemed kind of odd to me.
I said all along.
Have introduced him earlier.
We've talked about this before. I said all along that they're. I said 5 years ago. I said they're going to give Warlock's role to Doctor Strange, and that's exactly what they did. Right, the field general that's kind of weird and a loner, but makes all the cosmic decisions and orchestrates everything. That's Warlock's job, and they gave it to Doctor Strange. That's exactly what they did. Exactly what they did. He even had the Green Stone, for crying out loud, didn't he? Or yeah, I think
which is fine for me if that's what they want to do. But then why are you going to give us an Adam Warlock character?
Yeah.
At all?
Well,
like do another character. Call him something else. Like Adam Warlock has no purpose in the MCU.
Well,
once the Infinity War story's over,
that's the same thing with Yondu. Why just call him something else? Why use that character's look and name and make him a completely? They couldn't have made him a more different character. It's
different
just,
character, yeah.
Yeah. So again, I really want to reiterate to folks: none of this makes those existing things "quote unquote" bad. It's just different and off-putting to those of us who had certain expectations. And I guess we shouldn't have expectations. We should just take what we get, I guess. But still, I mean, if you've been your whole life, embedded in this stuff as we have, there's just certain things you've just waited hopefully to see. And it's one thing to say it's bad. It's another just say you're disappointed by it, you know. And that's what it is for me, is it just disappoints me, so... All right, well, let's get to Avengers, and before we do, I have to thank our patrons that keep all of our programs on the air. For as little as $1 a month, you too can be a part of the White Rocket family and keep this and all of our other shows on the air and all the other projects we have coming your ways in days to come. In fact, just in the last few weeks, we've given away lots of free books to our patrons. We have new podcasts that are for only for the patrons. There's lots of value that you can get just by supporting us, as well as, of course, keeping the lights on here at White Rocket Entertainment. Here are the folks who are currently helping to keep the lights on in our studio: Brendan O'Dwyer, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Joseph Fine, Christopher Brock, and Phil Amthor. And then we have Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Reynolds Wolf, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Caston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrick, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor, David Hegler, Mickey B., Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Dave Powell, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, Chris Wardam Way, Jason Albrick, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, I'm almost done, Jim, Mark Squire, Dave Medina, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, and our one-time donors, including Surfer Chickify and other awesome anonymous donors. We thank you guys so much, and we are always losing donors because people will do their bit and move on, and that's perfectly fine. So we need new ones to step up and take their place. So just go to www.plexico.net, www.plexico.net. Not .com, but .net, and you can click right on through and become a patron of our shows. All right, next, Jim, I'm going to fire up the Avengers Endgame trailer. Let me ask, what do you think about the title?
It makes sense to me. On first seeing it, it didn't really knock my socks off, but the more I think about it, it makes sense, so, you know, I'm fine with it.
Shouldn't they have gone Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, or do they just want to get War out there to start with and then kind of...
It's one of those things where now, and I questioned it at the time too, when they were originally going to do Infinity Wars Part 1 and Part 2. I didn't like that, because I, like you, I thought, well, do Infinity Gauntlet and then do Infinity War. That made more sense to me, but... You know, it even makes Infinity War kind of a lesser title to me now, knowing that Endgame's going to be the Avengers 4 title. It's kind of like, okay, well, why did you do this big Infinity War build up? Because Endgame seems kind of like a, you know, it's just kind of like an epilogue sort of thing. That's how I feel about it now. And I know there's a lot going on and we'll talk about it, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. I think the one thing we should be grateful for is that there's not going to be an Infinity Crusade. Which is just
true.
Thank our lucky stars that they're not doing that one. All right, here comes Avengers 4, Avengers Endgame.
Stay on. Hey, Miss Potts. If you find this recording, don't feel bad about this. Part of the journey is the end. Just for the record, being adrift in space with zero promise of rescue is more fun than it sounds. Food and water ran out 4 days ago. Oxygen will run out tomorrow morning. That'll be it. When I drift off, I will dream about you. It's always you.
Thanos did exactly what he said he was going to do. He wiped out 50% of all living creatures.
We lost, all of us. We lost friends. We lost family. We lost a part of ourselves. This is the fight of our lives.
This is gonna work, Steve.
I know it is. Because I don't know what I'm gonna do if it doesn't.
This is Scott Lang. We met a few years ago at the airport in Germany. I got really big.
Is this an old message?
Ant-Man, I know you know that.
It's the front door.
That's me. Can you buzz me in?
April. Wait, April? Did it move up?
Yeah, it moved up a week. It's April 26th now.
Oh, good gosh. You know, I have to say, we have to point out just how amazing and cool it is that we're not only getting we're getting two Avengers movies this big in less than a year, in less than the space of a year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it really is. And I think it shows, you know, not just how good Marvel as a studio has gotten at churning these out, but it also, I think, shows that the Russos were the right way to go.
Yes.
To close out this chapter of the Avengers because, you know, and Marvel's starting to do this more and more now where you're seeing directing teams working on these movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having the Russos who did such a great job with the last two Captain America movies.
Yes.
You know, it really, and especially with Civil War, which is basically just a Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
You know, they show that they can work together, that they have the skill sets that mesh well together to do a big epic movie like this and not lose sight of the characters and the plot, and they really hit everything, all the right notes.
Are these the Community TV show guys?
Yeah.
Who ever dreamed that would be the farm system for giving us basically the best directorial team for the whole MCU? I never imagined such a thing.
But what's really cool about that, though, is if you're a fan of Community and you watch that show, they directed some of the best episodes, and they directed you know, one of the things that Community became known for every year was they had these big paintball episodes where, you know, the entire campus is playing paintball and it becomes like this huge paintball war. And they directed all of those episodes. And it's, I mean, it's very cinematic the way that they approach shooting this half hour comedy. And so it never surprised me one iota when they were picked to do Winter Soldier. And I loved Winter Soldier, and I was just happy that they were, have continued to progress, because I think they're a key part of why these movies have been so good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So a couple of things. I didn't notice as many things that got me all interested and intrigued in this. There's obviously the cute bit at the end with Ant-Man. We'll get to that. But a couple of things. One, we see Thanos' outfit on a scarecrow standing in a field. And that is directly out of the comics. So
yep.
I give him a golf clap.
And that's one of my favorite Thanos moments from the comics, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got a chill when I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it shows he's done his thing, and he's done, and he's kind of, I mean, that's, and he's moved on, you know, he's off to do his little bit as a farmer or whatever, because he's succeeded. I mean, that's, it works in the context in the comic, but it works totally in a different context here in the same way, which is that, you know, I which is interesting. He's not the Thanos we knew, right? He's not the evil nihilist that wants to destroy everything and is like worse than Dr. Doom. In a way, he's worse, but I mean, what he tries to do, but his motivations are more complex and different, and they don't make a whole lot of sense, but it works in terms of the movie. So I'm not demanding he be exactly like the comic. It's just that it's interesting how they made him different and how that seems to be working better for a movie. Because I think for a movie, you need slightly more complex motivations, right? I mean, that's one of the things that's always been said, is that Marvel's villains, with the possible exception of Loki, are the weak link in most of the movies, and as opposed to the comics. And here, and I would argue, by the way, that part of that is that the heroes are so interesting and complex in Marvel that their villains almost have no hope of being more interesting in a lot of cases than those interesting heroes. But here you have a villain that has something of a complexity to him, right? He's, on the one hand, he's kind of an evil, cackling villain. Certainly he was in his earliest appearances in the MCU. But on the other hand, he in his own mind, he thinks he's doing something good and noble, and once he does it, he doesn't go off to be some giant galactic ruler. He just retires.
Right.
That's interesting.
Right. And that's what I like about it, is that, you know, he had a singular mission,
mm-hmm.
and once he accomplished it, you know, like you said, he didn't continue being this evil, tyrannical villain. He said, okay, I'm done. Let me take the armor off, and I'll go be a farmer someplace.
Yeah. That's fascinating to me. The other thing is, of course, we saw Ronan. What do you think about that?
We saw a lot that I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming
that's Ronan, right?
You know, it's interesting because on the one hand, I thought that they were going to save that for the movie and let it be a surprise. Mm. But on the other hand, I think they got such a backlash from the fact that, you know, Clint wasn't in Infinity War at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't even hear him referenced or mentioned. And so I think everybody was kind of like, you know, what's the deal? Why no Jeremy Renner love? So I think they had to put some moment where we knew he was going to be in it. And the way they did it works, because if you don't know the comics, you're kind of like, okay, why is he in this different outfit?
With a sword.
What's going on?
Bow,
he's got a sword. Yeah. I mean, he's very different the first time you see him in this trailer. So, you know, there's one question that you have among many that this trailer presents you.
Yeah. So, I had forgotten that he wasn't even in the last one. So that makes even more sense now that they'd make a point out of showing him there. By the way, do we know why Black Widow's hair is suddenly blonde lately instead of red?
No, they didn't mention it in the last one at all.
Right.
It just was.
Yeah, she went from having long, lustrous red hair to like this short, kind of dry-looking platinum blonde. It's just odd. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't like it. So.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Black Widow anymore. Okay, so, because, well, what else about this trailer? I mean, what were you, I mean, and we can speculate a little bit, where is this all going? I mean, I have no clue. And the trailer, I like this about the trailer. It doesn't, the trailer tells us two things. One, Iron Man is basically giving up hope. He's waiting to die, which is totally understandable. What can he do, right?
Right.
And then Captain America and Black Widow are almost giving up hope, sitting around going, you know, what can we do? We're just screwed. And then of all things, we get our little glimmer of hope at the very end from Ant-Man showing up. And they sure seemed awfully excited to see Ant-Man.
You know, I there's a meme going around the internet, and I'm sure you've seen it, which has a picture of Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, and it says, you know, you thought this was going to be the person that came to save everybody from Thanos, and then they have the picture of Paul Rudd in front of the gate, and it said, well, actually, this is the person that's going to save the world.
Apparently.
And, you know, the thing about Paul Rudd, and, you know, we learned this in Civil War, is that, you know, he brings a different kind of energy to the group.
Yeah.
And I love it because it's very much this kind of fanboy interaction with all of the other characters. And he's just so gosh darn earnest about wanting to help out and wanting to be a part of the group. And, you know, especially, you know, the conversations that he had in Ant-Man and the Wasp with Hope, where he was talking about, you know, I'm an Avenger now, and, you know, I know Captain America, and he called me for help and all this other stuff. And they played it as a comic relief sort of thing in Ant-Man and the Wasp. But, but knowing what we know about the post-credit sequence from Ant-Man and the Wasp and how that's going to tie into this, it's interesting that of all people, that Scott Lang is going to be the one that has the key to potentially, you know, resetting everything.
Can I just mention, by the way, too, that it's so funny that a team that has Sam Wilson, who puts on a backpack to fly around, a team that has Hawkeye, who, you know, shoots an arrow or a sword now, a team that has Black Widow, who has very amazing skills, but still no actual superpowers other than just her own amazing abilities. You got people like that on the Avengers. You know, you've got two guys in that just wear suits of armor. And then here comes Ant-Man, who can go from being like microscopically small to a giant. And he's like the one that gets treated the least. Like, he's not even worthy of their consideration. He's like that guy that kept trying to join the Avengers in the comics, and they kept laughing at him and dismissing him. I'm like, this guy is conceivably one of the most powerful beings you could have on the team. Why are you treating him like he's a joke? I don't understand that.
Well, and I think this is the movie where that's going to kind of change a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he is going to show up with the answer. But, you know, it's just the way that that trailer ended with him showing up, as dark as the rest of the trailer was, they needed to show that there was light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And they needed to give you like a glimmer of hope. Now, we don't know what the glimmer of hope is or what the plan is going to entail. We know it's going to be a long shot. In fact, I've said it before, sad Captain America, sad Steve Rogers, gets me every time because he's not supposed to be that guy. Like, Cap is like the ultimate glasses half full kind of guy. Like, it's always looking on the best way to look at things, or you're never going to give up. Like, Captain America is intestinal fortitude at its finest, you know? And so when there's the exchange between him and Widow where he says, you know, this this has to work because I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't. Like, mm-hmm. that hit me more than anything else in the trailer, because I thought, you know, you've got Steve Rogers who has almost given up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't know what to do if this doesn't work. If they're not able to save the world, then he doesn't know what he's going to do. And so how is anybody else supposed to be able to carry on if yeah. Captain America, of all people, can't? So, you know, that kind of struck me. One of the things that I haven't heard people talk about a lot is this trailer is very focused on Captain America for a good chunk of the running time. And I tend to think that the movie is going to be a little bit more focused on him versus Infinity War, which was very heavy with Tony and not so much Steve. I mean, Steve shows up in the last third to kind of rally the troops a little bit, but the first one was very much a Tony Stark driven story. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, because I think it's going to flip a little bit. And I think you're going to see more of Steve and Clint. And, you know, now that we've got Scott Lang in the mix, I mean, there's going to be the shift, I think. And I think that Tony's going to be the one that maybe is kind of just hanging out there for a while. And then he shows up as kind of like the cavalry towards the end, maybe.
Yeah, I would say, I think that I thought that Captain America was one of the least utilized characters in, as you were saying, in Infinity War. He didn't look like Cap. He didn't even have his shield, did he? I'm trying to remember, where was his shield?
Yeah, well, you assume that the shield got taken with his outfit.
Oh, you know, okay.
At the end of Civil War.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, because, you know, he had a shield. He got one in Wakanda, because that's like one of the best lines in the entire movie when T'Challa says, "Get that man a shield."
Right. But it wasn't his shield. Yeah. So there's got to be a big moment. No. Yeah. There's got to be a big moment coming. Right. There's got to be a big moment coming where Steve gets the shield back, and because he's shaved, he's looking more. I mean, I agree with you that, yeah, this movie probably is going to lean more on him, and it'll really be more of him back to normal as we think of him. And that would be very welcome. But I mean, Iron Man, meanwhile, floating out in the middle of space, is there anybody left out there that could rescue him? Because the Guardians, I need to go back and watch this movie again, obviously, but where are the Guardians at the end of Avengers Infinity War?
Yeah, here's my theory, because the Guardians that were with Tony either were killed by Thanos or they got dusted when he snapped his fingers.
That's right.
So Tony and Nebula are the only ones that are left, I think, on the planet. Rocket's still around on Earth, you would assume, because he was in Wakanda when they were fighting at the end of Infinity War. So he survived, but all the other Guardians of the Galaxy are gone. My theory is that the bit that we saw with Tony in the trailer is right before he gets rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's either going to be rescued by the Asgardians that are still surviving.
Okay.
That Thanos didn't take out on their ship that we saw at the beginning of Infinity War. Or Captain Marvel's going to save him.
Oh, I mean, that would be interesting.
One of the two. Like, I think, and I tend to lean towards more the Asgardian side, because I think you're going to see, you know, some of those characters that we didn't see in the last movie, you know, because everybody was kind of wondering, if Thor's on the ship full of Asgardians, mm-hmm. you know, why didn't we see Valkyrie? Why didn't we see, you know, some of the other characters that he picked up on the Grandmaster's planet mm-hmm. during Ragnarok? I mean, we didn't get to see characters that we were expecting.
Right.
So I think they could show up and save Tony, but I also think it could very easily just be Captain Marvel, and she picks him up on her way to Earth. You know, she's mm-hmm. obviously going to respond to Fury's text message
yeah.
or his pager message that he sent yeah. her
right.
During the post-credit sequence. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if she shows up that way and saves Tony.
All right. Well, I guess that's all there really is to talk about those two. Any last thoughts from you about either one of them as we're in the we're in the depths of winter of December right now, and so we're still about 3 months away from Captain Marvel as we record this, and then gosh, you mean that Captain Marvel comes out in March and Avengers comes out in April? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, sure does.
That's bang,
yeah.
bang.
In fact, yeah, I mean, it's like 7 weeks in between the two, I think, now.
Good grief.
So, yeah, it's weird because, you know, now we're getting to a point where Disney is really starting to have to watch the calendar a little bit, or they're going to start cannibalizing
yes.
box office from yeah. their own movies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at a point where they don't have to worry about other studios because all the other studios tend to move out of the way whenever Disney
darn right
announces a release date.
Yeah.
But I mean, between the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies and animated movies they've got coming out, and now they've got live action remakes of animated movies that are going to be big box office. Like, there's only so many weeks on the calendar.
Yeah.
And I do kind of question them moving up Avengers that 1 week, because, you know, even though at that point Captain Marvel will have been out for, you know, like I said, 7 weeks,
mm-hmm.
it's still, to me, you know, it seems like they're too close together. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Or, you know, maybe they're just hoping that the sheer inertia of the audience being excited about Captain Marvel and not wanting them to wait for Avengers, you know, and that's going to carry over a little bit. But,
or the excitement for Avengers, you know, will make people go see Captain Marvel as like an appetizer almost.
Right, right. I mean, it's not like, you know, they have to worry about the Avengers box office.
No.
It's going to do okay.
And I think
it's going to do fine.
I don't think they expect that Captain Marvel is going to do Black Panther numbers. So there's
I would hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I wouldn't want to see it, but as far as just like a cultural event, I mean, we've kind of already had that in the superhero genre with Wonder Woman. So,
right.
You know, though this is Marvel's first solo female led mm-hmm. movie, to me, it doesn't have the kind of cultural zeitgeisty momentum that Wonder Woman had or Black Panther had.
Right. Totally.
And if I was Marvel, I wouldn't expect it to do $1 billion at the box office.
No, it's going to be interesting to see what it is. I think it's going to do business comparable to Thor or Doctor Strange or Ant-Man much more than anything bigger than that. And I think that the only reason it's going to do that much is its proximity to the Avengers, coming between the two Avengers movies.
Yeah. And I think they're at a point now where they have to look at it like, you know, even though you want all of your movies to be huge $1 billion franchises, they're not all going to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to have movies that are kind of the second tier, you know, and for Marvel, the second tier is, you know, $300 or $400 million yeah. at the box office.
Still pretty good.
$6 or $7 million. Yeah. Six.
Still
so,
good.
Yeah. The fun thing, and I know you and I have discussed, you know, we have to do our year-end wrap-up on my show
mm-hmm.
for the MCU. You know, the fun thing for me about knowing we finally have a trailer for Avengers is it feels like, okay, now they're going to start the marketing for Avengers. The name's out there. They don't have to keep that a secret anymore. So what are the big secrets left on the table that Marvel has to announce here in the coming months? And it's almost like, I wonder when we're going to get the Phase 4 announcement. if they're going to wait until Avengers comes out, or if they're going to do it before
Are we just a four? Or are we five? I'm totally confused now. What phase are we?
I think we're still in phase three, I think.
Really? Okay.
I think we're still in phase three.
Well,
this is the end of phase three.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, because there's still some sequels to go. I mean, we got another Spider-Man movie. There's got to be another Black Panther movie. There's probably a Doctor Strange sequel. You know, we may or may not get a Guardians of the Galaxy sequel. So there's still some things to play out before we're done with what this whole iteration of Marvel has done in the theater. What I'm really curious about is, once all that has played its course, then where do we go? Do we just keep on stringing this version out, or do we restart the entire universe with a whole new cast, whole new series, everything? I don't know.
Well, and I think we talked about this at Archon during one of the MCU panels that we did. You know, this is the last official announced Avengers movie.
That's right.
They haven't announced anything after this, but like you said, they've got plenty of stuff that's in the pipeline that they don't need an Avengers movie for, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it may be that the next big announcement is, you know, for the next phase of the Marvel Universe, kind of shine some light on the direction the Avengers are going to go. And, you know, are we going to get another big Avengers movie, or is this it? And the Avengers may just pop up as a team in other movies, and, you know, other things may happen with the Avengers.
Well, if there's one thing I'm sure about, is that there will be at least another movie called Avengers. The question in my mind is, will it be the characters that are left at this point after Endgame, sort of like a new Avengers after Avengers 16, you know, where you change the whole lineup? Or will it be an entirely new MCU starting over from scratch with like a new Iron Man, a new Captain America, a new Thor and all that? Just like, you know, you close the book on this one and then you have a big bang and create the universe all over again. I feel like there's no way Disney won't say, yeah, we need to do more movies called The Avengers. I'm just not sure what those movies will be.
Right, right. So. And I do know, you know, one of the things that came out here in the last couple of weeks was, I think Anthony Russo was doing an interview and he talked about Chris Evans made this big deal about how he was done with Captain America when he wrapped on Avengers 4. And Anthony Russo came out and said he's not done playing Captain America. Like, there's more of Chris Evans as Captain America. You know, we can't tell you how or where or when or why, but you know, there's more Captain America down the road.
Interesting.
So I thought that was interesting because I, you know, everybody's on this mindset of some of these characters are going to die. You know, either Tony Stark's going to get killed off or Steve Rogers is going to get killed off because the actors are done playing them.
Right.
And it's interesting to me that he would come out and say something that definitive without really giving anything away other than, you know, Chris Evans isn't done playing Captain America yet.
Well, we will see. I guess that's going to bring us to the end. We will revisit all this the next occasion, at least on the White Rocket side, come in the springtime when we have actually more stuff to talk about. So unless there's some big revelation in another Captain Marvel trailer that we have to talk about, do an emergency podcast, then we'll reconvene to probably review Captain Marvel, and there's other stuff coming before then. So, all right, Jim, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your thoughts and your expertise. As always, it's a blast as always.
As always, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm here whenever you need me.
All right, and the Rocket's going to get on out of here for another week. This is the Avengers Assemble podcast, and we'll see you guys down the road. We
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.